How many kids do you think they have today? A lot. You see how God is? When God says to start something, you just do it, and then He just brings it. I mean, you know, that's just God, just God. Amen. He's so faithful and so good to His people. So faithful and so good to His people. Well, we do want to welcome everyone here this morning. And we just pray that something we say or do will touch your heart and touch your life this morning. I want you to, we do want to thank you for the tithe and offerings. Oh, give that bulletin. Let's see. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your giving to the church. We certainly do appreciate it. You can bring the scripture up, Malachi chapter 3. It's a familiar scripture, but last week we picked up $1,628.10. So thank you for being faithful with your tithe and offerings to the church. It goes to pay for everything you see here. So it goes to pay all that stuff. So, but we do want to thank you. But it says in Malachi 3:10, it says, and he's talking to us, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Go back to the first part. It says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That's the part that God requires of us. I mean, that's just how it is. God is saying to Joseph, bring your tithe to the storehouse. I'm saying, okay. And when I do that, it says that we're supplying meat. That means we're supplying substance for the house, physical substance for the house. And prove me now here, it says the Lord of hosts, if he will not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon us, that we would not have room enough to receive it. So God is requiring of his people, me as a pastor, myself, you as a part of this church, to bring the tithe into the storehouse. You might say, well, Pastor, what's the tithe? Tithe is 10% of what you make. If you make $100 a week, God says, give $10. Now, he could say more, he can whatever, if he speaks to your spirit, but that's his requirement, you know, for us to do. Now, I know we hear a lot about, well, you know, is tithing for today? Well, God gave that tithing in the Old Testament before he even instituted the law. And so it was before that. So he has set it up for the church to run on what the people give. And so if the church lacks, it's because of my fault. Or you can say because of yours, because us, if we're not doing our part. So what I want you to, you see, I want you to have the blessings of the windows of heaven being open. That's what I want. I want the storehouse to be full, but I want you, and I want to be blessed by God. And blessings come from being obedient to him. And so whatever you make, give 10%. And the blessings of God will be upon your family and upon your household. And God will do things that will bless your family. But I want to tell you this. You amaze me. You amaze me. You astound me on your giving. And I want to thank you. And I want to tell you I appreciate you. And thank you for your giving. Amen. And I pray the blessings of God upon you. Why don't you just lift your hands as we pray the blessing. Father, Lord, I pray for the blessings of God upon each home this day, Lord God. Father, you've seen how they've given sacrificially, Lord God. You've seen when they could have used that money in other places. But because of obedience to your word, Father, they have given it and have been obedient to you. And Father, I pray a hundredfold back return unto your people, unto the homes, Lord God. That Father, they will not lack in any area, Lord God, spiritually and physically, Lord God, that the blessings of the Spirit of God would be upon each and every home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Appreciate you. I want you to turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. When you get there, put your finger and lift up your Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a song, an old song, and I want to read the words to you. It's not long, but... What's that? Oh, Lord. She's saying, sing it. Everybody would leave. But the Lord would be here. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let me tell y'all something. Every time I get up here, I'm always afraid I'm going to fall off the stage. Yeah, just laugh and pick me up. Yeah. Laugh, pick me up, and bring me to the hospital. Yeah. Okay. No, but I'm always looking to make sure. Always looking to make sure. But this is a song. It says, it starts out and just says, it's very simple but so true. It says, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. His name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. And here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, talking about Mary, shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, I want you to pull up Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. One of the attributes of God is that, or one of the names of God is Emmanuel. You know, we often say Jesus because that's the name above all names, Jesus, the Savior of the world. But one of the attributes is that they called him, and that's twice in Scripture it says that he would be called Emmanuel. And we know from what Scripture says that Emmanuel, interpreted, means God with us. So every time you say Emmanuel, or you think of, you say Emmanuel, that means God with us. Starting to rain, y'all. Thank God they're over there. That's every Sunday almost. Oh! She's going to put her witness out. God with us. You know it? You know that song, Rain, Lord, Rain, Lord, Rain down your spirit, Lord. Rain, Lord. His Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit. But Emmanuel means God with us. And every time, you know, we know from scriptures, and we know from what the word says, that God is with us. God is with us. I mean, from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed, and as we are sleeping, God is with us. He's with us. We can see it from Genesis to Revelation that the Spirit of God, God is with us. He truly is Emmanuel, God with us. God with His people, God with His church, God with the people, God is with us. So what shall we fear? What can man do unto us? God is with His people. God is with us. Emmanuel. What a name. What an attribute that has been given to the church from our Savior. You know, Emmanuel, they could have left that out of the Scriptures. But God saw it forth to put it in Scripture so the church would know that God is with them no matter what. That God is with them no matter what's going on in their lives, no matter what's going on in the church itself, no matter what's going on with the body of Christ, no matter what's going on in the world. That God, G, capital G-O-D, is with us. That we don't have to be afraid. That we don't have to be scared. That we can walk in the power and the might of our God. That God is with you. God is with us. That God is for us. Emmanuel. My God. That's the Holy Spirit that saw forth from eons ago so that I could preach on it today to tell you that He is Emmanuel. That He is Emmanuel. He is God with us today. Amen. Praise God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be glorified because He's with us. You might say, well, Pastor, is He with us today? Yes, He is. We know Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is roaming the earth. And He's here today. Here today. Somebody just walked across. I saw the head of somebody. He's probably trying to stay out of the rain. That's what it is. He should have just came in. Lord, get him in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, get him. God with us. Get that guy. Amen. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. Now look, I want to look at Scripture. God with us. From the beginning of the human race, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. Verse 8 through 10. It says, and they heard now. Now, before I start to read, I need to give a pretext maybe of what was going on. Adam and Eve, God had made Adam and Eve. And we know the story, God made them and all this stuff. And they did fail God. They did. And we can point finger at them because really, their mistake really has cost us a lot of heartache. But, like some preachers say, we were in them. It was all of us, really. Just human nature, humankind, fail and chose another way. But God was coming to visit with them. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now you see, from the beginning of Genesis, the beginning of our time, because God has been here forever. And I know that's hard for us to conceive. Because everything we know of has a beginning and an end. Everything, except God. No beginning, and surely, thank God, no end. But it says that God would come. Can you imagine? He created Adam and Eve. And He created us higher than angels, guys. He created us in the image of Him. And it says that, you know, we know the scripture talks about Adam and Eve and they messed up and they failed and stuff. Even in the failure, God was still Emmanuel, God with us. Because even in the failure of Adam and Eve, God, in His mercy and His grace, came down to walk with them and talk with them like He did every other day, every other time. Because He wanted to be with them. He loved them and cared about them. He was Emmanuel to them, God with us, or God with Adam and Eve. And it says that He went down to talk with them and He couldn't find them. God knows everything. God knew where they were. God knew what they did. God knew that they were hiding in the trees. God knew where they were. But God is the same yesterday, today, and get it, people. God is the same yesterday. God is the same yesterday. God is the same today and forever. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He went down to be with His people. I know when we mess up, we run. Huh? Can't do it. We run. We run. We run away from God instead of running to the cross to have that victory. You might say, victory? Even in our failures, we have victory. You might say, well, how does that happen? Even in our failures, as we look to the cross and ask forgiveness, the blood of Jesus covers us and we have victory because of what He did at the cross. Man. So even, guys, when we fail, we have victory because of not what we have done, but because of what God has done and what God will do in us and through us. The power of His Spirit. God came down to talk with them like He did every other day. And people, let me tell you this. I know we run sometimes. Don't run from Him. Don't run from Him. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. He came to talk with them. You know, it was Adam and Eve not in the right place. God was in the right place. And God called out to them. And Adam answered, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? He knew. You know. And God still took him in and took care of them and gave him some clothes, killed some animals, sacrificed from the beginning. A semblance of what He would do upon the cross, the shedding of the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Even from the beginning, guys. Even from the beginning. Fig leaves didn't work. God wouldn't accept fig leaves on His people. That's a sermon right there. But He killed some animals. The blood was shed. And He took the coat of these animals and made them clothes. The shedding of blood. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. Just like the prodigal son. Just like the prodigal son. The father was waiting for his son. When the son finally came to his senses and knew he had to go back to the father, because he got tired of living a way that just wasn't pleasing unto the father, earthly father, and unto the father in heaven, that he came running back. And the father, as he saw his son, ran to him to get him. They slaughtered the calf that had been waiting, you know, to be slaughtered. Blood was shed again. It's a gruesome sight. But you know what? That's why blood has to be shed, because sin is so awful. It's so awful. It's so awful. That's why it took Jesus dying the way He died. Because it's so bad. But God is with us. Emmanuel, His name. God is with you. With us as a body of believers. With us as a church. With you as a family. With you as an individual. God is with you. He won't run from you. He won't say you're too awful. You don't look good enough. You know? You don't have enough money or whatever, whatever status, whatever, whatever. God is running, wants to run to us. And He wants us to look to Him. Because He is Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. God with you. God with you. Christ took on, or Jesus took on human flesh while retaining undiminished deity and became the perfect God-man. He lived on earth, walked among men, yet He also displayed the power of Almighty God as He healed the sick, cast out demons, calmed the seas, and raised the dead. That's the kind of God we serve. He is God with us. He's the God that did many, many miracles upon the earth. He healed the leper. He healed the paralyzed man. He healed the withered hand. He healed the woman with the internal bleeding. He healed a man that was crippled for 38 years. My God! And He also, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, walked upon water. Walked upon water. He is the God that is with us. He is the God that is with you today. And that will help you in all aspects of your life. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 to 6, talking about the Father, speaks of His Son. It says, "And was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, taken with Him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If Thou wilt let us make here three tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said," can you bring it up? Bring it up. Which says what? Anybody has their Bibles? I want to make sure you read it right. Nobody has their Bibles? Go. Oh, okay. Look, everybody say, well, I don't want to read. I don't want to read. Look, I have the mic. No. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thank you. And while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the clouds which said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. He is God with us. Even God the Father was pleased with His Son. Behold, this is My Son, in whom I am well pleased. And people, I know there's probably many things we can look at our own personal lives, and we can probably, you know, every time we start to look at maybe our own personal lives, we think of all the wrong. We think of all the wrong. Why do we always go to the negative? That's our nature. You got it. That's good. That's good. That's the sin nature on the inside of us. That's just like, you know, you've heard the story of you take a white sheet of paper, clear white, and you put one little black dot in the middle, and you hold it up. And you ask the people, what do you see? And most of the time, people will, instead of all the white and clear, they'll say, well, I see a little black dot. Looking at the little part of that's not good on that sheet of paper. But God said this of Jesus, behold, My Son in whom I am well pleased. This is My Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father was well pleased with His Son. And I want to tell you this as a church, people. God is well pleased with you. Do you know that? Do you know that God is pleased with you? Now, Is his work finished? God forbid. It's not finished. But do you understand that God is pleased with you? That not one of us in here goes out today wanting to sin and displease God, huh? None of us goes out today and gonna do horrible things just because we hate God. God is pleased with us. God loves you. God cares about you. He is God with us. Emmanuel. He is pleased. Now, he may want us to do certain things and he'll prick our hearts and try to show us things. And yes, the Holy Spirit's job is never finished. The Holy Spirit's job is never finished with cleaning us up. Because after we get over one issue, God picks up another issue. So honestly, we are a never-ending work. We're never finished. But your God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is pleased with you. He sees how you give. He sees how you pray. He sees how you long for Him. He sees how you want to see the gospel preached to the world. He sees how you care about His business. He sees those things and He's pleased with this church. I know it. And pleased with you. Thank God. But then we need to stay on that table of letting the Holy Spirit continue to work because He's God with us. As Emmanuel says, God with us. Well pleased with His Son. Now we know His Son didn't have a sin nature at all. He was not born basically of the flesh. It was by the Holy Spirit that came upon Mary. There was nothing from Joseph and there was nothing from Mary. It was all by the Holy Spirit. He used Mary to be the incubator for Jesus to be born with a divine nature and a human nature. So that that He could bear the sins of the world, our sins, to give us life and freedom so that we would know Him as Emmanuel, the God with us that cares about us. Well pleased with His church. Well pleased with His people. And when He's well pleased with us, the blessings and the power of God come upon the church. You know, I was thinking just offhand, you know, I know with jobs, I know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people in this church that God has given them a different job and has supplied for them. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Some had to redo with jobs. Some had to, you know, their business closed and whatever else. But 5 people that I know of in the last 2 months or so, that God has just, wow, and I thought, thank you, Lord. Well pleased, God will move mountains. God will do whatever it takes to bring His people closer to Him, to bring His people unto Him, so that His presence and His power could be upon the church. Behold, my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we could hear that same voice. Behold, my daughter. Behold, my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And put your name in there. Put your name in there. Think, and I have to be careful of this because people have gone over the edge with this. Think highly or more highly of yourself as a child of God. That He is pleased with His people. He's pleased with us as a church. Look what He's done. My God, the blessings and His presence. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what happens during the week. I may not know what happens during the week, but I live in the world too. And I work in the world too. I know how it is. I know the struggles you go through. I know what happens. I know how hard it is to stand up for truth and right, and righteousness. I know how hard it is sometimes. But I tell you, I know the God who is faithful, who is God with us and will help us and will encourage us and be with us. And His Spirit will lead you and guide you and help you in all the endeavors that the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart to accomplish upon this earth. Because you see, you are His hands. You are His feet. You are Him. Got to be careful with that. We're not God. You are Him upon the earth. His hands and His feet to get the job done. And the Holy Spirit comes and does the rest. See, it's not my job to grow this church. It's not my job to even grow you. It's not. It's my job to preach and teach the truth of His Word. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to grow you and to grow this church. And that we have to just be led by His Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Psalms 46. And I want to read, it's going to really be the whole chapter, but how God is with us. My God. It says, God is our refuge. Oh, my Lord. Get a hold of that thing. God is your refuge, people. He's God with us, Emmanuel. And strength and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, thou the earth be removed, and thou the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Is that the last verse? Yeah. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Look, the Lord of hosts is your refuge. He's the God with you. He is your refuge. He is your refuge. It is Him. It is Him. It is Him. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, He is our refuge. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. He's with us. He's with His people. He's with His people. How God takes care of His people, no matter what's going on in the world. Look, no matter what happens out there, God will take care of you. As you are faithful to Him in giving Him what is due unto Him, our lives, He is faithful to come and help us because He is Emmanuel. He was Emmanuel in Genesis. He'll be Emmanuel in Revelations. And we're between that. So He's Emmanuel today to you, the God that is with us. The God that is with us. But I want to step it up a little further. He's the God that is with us. But I want to say this, He's the God in us. He's the God not only with us, but He is the God in us, in our spirits, that lives and abides inside of us. I want to read a scripture to you. In Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? When we, you might say, well, how do we become the temple of the Holy Ghost? This is the deal. Before we got saved, before we gave our hearts to the Lord, God wasn't in us. It was just us. We didn't declare Him Lord. He didn't live in us. He didn't abide in us. But once we heard that we had to receive Him as our Lord and Savior, and we decided to do that, and you know, and we all prayed and we said, Lord, Father, forgive me of all of my sins. Lord, I believe that You died upon the cross. I believe that You rose again, Lord. And Father, I accept You, wow, as my Lord and Savior. As we pray that, and we believe it, and we stand upon His Word, it says that the Holy Spirit comes, God Himself, basically. There are three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but yet they're one. He comes and He lives and abides on the inside of us. Forgives us of all of our sins. We become His son or His daughter. And He lives in us. We are now the temple where the Holy Spirit now abides. As far as inside of us. We know the Holy Spirit still roams and convicts people and protects us and does all kind of stuff. Comforts us and helps us. But as we become, yet Scripture, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He is God in you now. He is God in you now. He's God with us, Emmanuel. But now He is God in me. He's in Joseph. He's in me. He's in you. That's why we got to be careful how we treat these bodies, you know, what we do, because He lives in us. He abides in us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is grieved. You might say, what does that mean, grieved? That means it restricts Him. In other words, you can say He feels bad, basically. It puts a strain on Him, maybe because of things we've done or whatever. Other times He's not. But I tell you what, we know from what God has spoken this morning, He's pleased with us. He lives in us. We are the temple now. Years ago, you know, when they had the temple, they had built the big temples and God was in the most holy of holies, in the Ark of the Covenant. That's where He was. And it says that when Jesus died on the cross, and His blood was accepted by the Father, because it was a perfect blood sacrifice, that the veil of the temple that was 6 inches deep, thick, was rent in two from top to bottom, that the Holy Spirit was saying, enough is enough, I'm not in this building, in this room anymore, and I'm going to my new home. And His new home was us. Us. He was saying, I want to live within my people. I want to be with my people. The Holy Spirit wants to be with us and wants to abide in us. And we should do everything we can to please our God. To please Him and what He likes and what He wants and what He wants. And we need to lay down, and this is a hard word for us, we need to lay down selfishness. Self. And say, Father, it's not me anymore, but Father, it is You. It is You. And what do You want, Lord God? Because He knows what is best for our spirit. He knows what is best for us on the inside. Because you see, it's the spirit man that will live on forever. This flesh will die. What we covet to the most, and we all do, is this flesh. But that will die. Is that spirit man. And we got to get that spirit man strong. I know God is speaking to us. He's pleased with us, people. He's pleased with you. He loves you. He's pleased with how you pray and you seek Him and how you honor Him. He's pleased how you open up His Word and you read and you don't even feel like it. I know it. He's pleased how you get up and do the things that He calls us to do. He's pleased. But yet, Lord, what do You have more of for me? We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which You have of God, and You are not Your own. We are not our own anymore. We have been bought with a price. We are His from now on. We are His from now on. That means whatever He wants, He gets. Whatever He wants, that's what we do. Whatever He wants, it's my desire. Ooh. Whatever He wants, let me say that again, it's my desire. Not that I like it sometimes, not that I'm satisfied with it sometimes, but what He wants is my desire. What He wants is our desire as a church. What He wants is your desire for you as an individual. What does He want? We are not our own anymore. He's Emmanuel, God with us, but He stepped it up a little further. He's the God in us. And we need to let Him live through us and in us so that we can be what God desires and wants us to be. He's pleased. Thank You, Lord. I love it. Pleased with us. My God. Pleased with how we worship. No one here, no one in this church gets the praise and the glory except Him. No one. There's no one up here to hype you up. Now, I'm not saying one day, hey, you never know. We'd love to have a worship leader. Nothing wrong with it. I prayed about it and prayed about it. I got tired of praying about it. Honestly, I said, that's enough with me. I'm not praying about it anymore. I'll be honest with you. I cut that off. I said, Lord, it's not coming, so I'm not going to pray anymore. And Lord, when You want it, bring it. But I tell you what, and it's hard for people to adjust with nobody up here. That's a shame. It's hard, I know it, at times. Because we're used to people playing whatever, and we need to give, because it does. It says, praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him on the stringed instruments. Praise Him, and we want to do that. That's our desire. But I tell you what, we will praise Him. We will clap, we will worship Him. And I tell you, you know why He's pleased with us? Because we worship Him, and there's nobody pushing us. There's nobody saying, come on. And we do it freely out of our hearts. Let me tell you, I know as you're standing up there and you're lifting your hands and you're saying, Father, I love You. Look, that pleases the Father. Or your hands may not be up, but you're saying, Father, thank You. Lord, I love You. Oh, Lord, I love You. That's the sacrifice of praise. To worship Him, Emmanuel, God with us, and now God in us. In us. Let the God in you be what He wants to be in you. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Hebrews 13:5 says this as you're standing, that He would never leave us nor forsake us. What a promise. Thank You, Lord. What a promise. What a promise. That He, can you imagine, will never leave you or forsake you. Can you imagine, huh? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hebrews 13:5, that He, talking about the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that He will never leave you or forsake you. He sticks closer than a brother, my Lord. Father, Lord, I just thank You for today. I just thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for Your presence in this place. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that has touched the people, Lord God. Father, I thank You for encouraging Your people. Lord, I want to thank You that You're pleased with us. Thank You. Help us to accomplish Your will before You come back, Lord. Help us, Lord. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to give you a chance to know Him. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart to Him this morning, you'd say, Father, I give up living my own life. Now I want to live for You only. Would you please raise your hand? Would you please? I see your hand there. I see your hand in the back. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together. There's two people that have raised their hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept You as the Lord of my life. I believe that You died on the cross and You rose again. And You're seated at the right hand of the Father. And from this day forward, I will live for You with all of my heart. And I want to thank You for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look this way. Look, I just want to tell you, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you.